Well, hi there. This is session number 49, and we're taking a little vacation from what we've been doing in the spiritual warfare, but at the same time, you're going to find that anything in Scripture involves spiritual warfare. I think you'll be blessed by what we're about to talk about in this session. We're talking about Christmas revelation, and we're thinking on Scripture from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now, both Matthew and Luke give the story of the birth of the baby Jesus in their Gospels. Mark and John do not give accounts of the Savior's birth, but pick up Jesus later in ministry. It is interesting to note that while Matthew was a tax collector, he makes no mention of the census mentioned by Luke as the reason for the census being to tax. That was the whole reason, was to tax the people. But it's just interesting. He was a tax collector and didn't mention that. Of course, tax collectors weren't particularly loved, so that may be one of the reasons he left it out. But I just have always found that to be of interest. But these differences in their approach are just that, different aspects of the same story, not discrepancies. There was divergence without disagreement in the stories. Now, this is really important for you to grasp and understand, because there are people out there that if they see any little difference, they say, well, now see that the Bible says it one way here and the Bible says one way there. These were two men who were giving the account from the perspective that they were inspired to relate the events. And so there was here divergence without disagreement. So Matthew's unwrapping the gift was different from Luke's unwrapping the gift. Matthew simply unwraps some different packages of the story of the Savior's birth than did Luke. But all of this, what keeps showing up over and over again, is the guidance that the men and women get from angels. Matthew tells of angels guiding the human participants in God's plan to bring into the world the Savior of mankind. You see, without divine guidance, mankind, represented here by Joseph, who was considering not cooperating with the great redemption plan, had to get spurred on by God sending an angel in a dream so that Joseph would know, yes, even though the woman that you're betrothed to is already expecting a child, this is something from the Holy Spirit, and you can go ahead and marry her. Now, Luke's unwrapping the gift. When Luke unwraps this gift of this knowledge of what God's doing or did, Luke gives a secular history background when he starts out, or at least it may seem that way. Remember, God is able to use the just and unjust alike to work out His plans. And notice that in the first part there of Luke chapter 2, he talks about in the days of Caesar Augustus. Now, this is going to make more sense to you as I go on, but I want to tell you that Caesar Augustus means hairy, or like an elephant. And well, that's what Caesar was. Now, Augustus is venerable, and he issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. And then Luke points out that this was while Quirinius was governor. Now, Quirinius means of the wall. And he was governor of Syria. Now, Syria comes from the descendants of Aram, and that means, and Aram is high, as in lofty, a high place. And it says that when they called this census, everyone went to their own town to register. And then Luke also said, but in verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel, and this is when Joseph was considering not going with the plan. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph. Now, Joseph means increase. These are all going to make sense later as I tie them together for you. But he said, Joseph, son of David. Now, David means well-beloved. Do not be afraid to take Mary. Now, Mary means rebellion. That's what the name Mary means. Home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So what was being conceived in rebellion was from the Holy Spirit. Thus, while we get from Luke, what we get from Luke here may be a part of a secular history. It is, in fact, a series of events being employed by God to bring about the unfolding of God's own plan of redemption for mankind. God had a plan, he's afoot here, that he is implementing. And these are the people that he is using to bring about his plan. God is in these events bringing about the Christmas revelation. He's bringing about a Christmas revelation of salvation. Now, there is a revelation here in the names. Now, remember, revelation itself, that word means veil drawn back. So what I'm going to be doing here is I'm going to be drawing back a veil for you to help you be able to see. Now, remember when Jesus was crucified. Remember the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. It was, in a sense, drawn back, and the Holy of Holies was revealed so that man would be able to have direct access to God. So, this revelation occurs when we look beyond the time-bound events to the spiritual, eternal, or without time, meanings of names mentioned in the record right here in the scriptures of this Christmas story. It is then that amazing truth is revealed. If you have people saying to you, well, you know, the Bible was written by so many people and it's just been translated so many times. How can you believe that? How can you believe this? What do you think about this? Here's a story. Everybody loves the Christmas story. Even people who don't claim to be believers. They celebrate Christmas. They decorate, they buy gifts. So they're more open to hear this story of how God revealed himself and a plan right here. You know, the scripture tells us that it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. And we're all priests and kings who are believers. And it's the glory to search out a matter. And you've heard me say many times that looking into the scriptures and the things of God is a little bit like peeling the layers of an onion. And the first, you have to get past those flaky outer layers of the onion. And then you start getting into the meat of the onion. And then there's another layer of that and another layer of meat and another layer of meat and another layer of meat. Well, I'm going to take you beyond those outer flaky layers. Nothing wrong with those layers. They're a part of the onion. And many people, particularly if they're from the Western world here, they've heard the Christmas story. They know about the Christmas story. And they love that little baby in the manger. They'll accept this part of Scripture when they don't accept anything else. They'll practice something around this part of Scripture when they don't practice anything around any other part of Scripture. But this part of Scripture, with this little baby, this part of Scripture, they love and they read to their children. Most people, at least in the Western nations, have been exposed to this. So what is this revelation? Well, man in a spiritual sense, which is true reality, you know, you've often heard me say that what we see as the natural is a reflection of the spiritual. It's reflecting the spiritual. So man in the spiritual sense, which is, as I say, true reality, was separated by a wall of rebellion from God. The wall, now you'll notice when we read that part of Scripture, which is what the name Quirinius means, was so high, which is what Syria means, or the basis of the area of Syria, no one could scale it. Man was so separated by the wall of sin that he could not scale it to get back into good relationship with God. Right here it is in the story, revealed in the names of the people. God therefore used mankind in the person of increase, which is what Joseph means, to be able to let grace abound. You see, grace was about to increase through the baby Jesus and what he would do. And so he's using Joseph to be the father, to fulfill the earthly father role for this baby. So he brought increase out of separation, or separated, which is Nazareth, which what Nazareth means. So they came out. Increase came out, you see, of this separated place in the God's circle, which is what Galilee means. So just read, follow along in the scripture there, and you'll find that this is the same order in which it's written. You see, placed in the God's circle of salvation. What the salvation, what the word Jesus means, Savior, or salvation, or one who saves, to a place of praise, which is Judea. You see, Judea is a place of praise because it's where Judah was settled, and Judah means praise. This brought man to a place called the house of bread, which is what the word Bethlehem means. What we know is that we have bread in our celebration when we have the table of the Lord, because that represents the body of Christ. The town or city of the well-beloved. This house of bread is the town or city of the well-beloved. David, that's what David means. Because increase, Joseph, belonged to the line of well-beloved David. He went to register with rebellion with Mary. They went together to be counted. You see, that will happen at the throne one day. Those who have been involved in increase and those who have remained in rebellion will come before the throne to be counted and sifted by God. The time came, and the Savior, Jesus, was born. So it was done. So it was written. Look through that. Look at that Christmas story. And in just that first part of Luke, before you get to the angel showing up to the shepherds, is another layer of that onion I was talking about. Now, people say, well, now these Gospels were written many years afterwards, so they might have written this stuff just to kind of influence people. Oh, well, how did they get Caesar Augustus to be in charge of Rome at the time? Because he was only Caesar for 3 years prior to that. And how did they get Quirinius to be the governor? You see, there are things in here that nobody could have made up to try to manipulate people, because these are unbelievers. These are not even people who are the chosen people of God, but God is using them in His plan to bring about the salvation of mankind if people will simply accept it. Is it amazing that you can go through the meanings of these names and come up again with the gospel story right there? It's nearly shocking. It is nearly shocking. I mean, who would have thought that Quirinius would mean a wall? And there was this wall of separation between God and mankind. That God was the only one that could tear it down by sending His only begotten Son, this baby in the manger, this Jesus, the Savior, to touch the lives of people being born in the house of bread. In the city of the beloved, where grace could abound with Joseph being as the father. Now, I didn't name the word Mary as meaning rebellion. That's just what the word Mary means. But it is interesting to note that the first person to eat of the tree that was forbidden in the garden was the woman. And here we have a woman named Rebellion to show us the story that brings about how God entered in to a rebellious world and planted there His seed of salvation to bring about the reuniting of man to God. Is that exciting? That is so exciting to me. And to see it laid out right there in the names. Now we know that the angel showed up to the shepherds. You see, the shepherds, and I mentioned this a few sessions ago, the shepherds were probably the least educated people of anywhere. But God made sure that everybody could understand. You see, you've got highly educated people coming to bring gifts to Jesus because they've been following a star. But you've got shepherds who are clueless out in the field, doing a good job, I'm sure, of watching the sheep. But God sends special messengers to them. What a story. What a story. Revealed right here, God's plan of salvation in the Christmas story. And that's the teaching for this session.